Wow, that's just enough to give you goosebumps, eh? Wow. I thought back in the day Michael Jackson gave me goosebumps. Michael gave me goosebumps. But amen, I hope everyone's doing well this morning. And I want to take this time to, once again, Howard and Karen, it's great to see you guys. And I also want to give a very special warm welcome to anyone who is visiting this morning. There are some people I heard that's visiting from Charleston and also from Toronto. It's great to have you guys here. Amen. Will you guys go ahead and stand up so we can... All right. Amen. You know, but this morning, you know, I was greeted by someone, you know, who said, you know, congratulations, you know, on your, like, gold medals and stuff like that. You know, I'm from Jamaica, the land of the fast runners. Man, we're so proud, eh? We're very proud people. I must say that we're proud, you know, but, yeah, and then I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we, you know, we did it. You know, we took home all the golds and all these different things. You know, even throughout the week, when I would see some of my Jamaican friends, you know, when they're far away, I'd be like, hey, and I'll be like, you know, doing the Usain Bolt thing, and they'll be like, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's strange, you know, just cases like that, how things like that just brings out something in you. You know, but I, you know, this morning, I want to talk about love. You know, and, you know, all those things, you know, is what I just mentioned in the world, you know, they're great, but they're really nothing, you know, compared to love. You know, love is what we need to, you know, we should actually go around. I don't know how to make the love thing, but when we see each other, it should be like this, you know, and we should be like, yeah, you know, you know, just like how I'm doing the Usain Bolt thing. Doesn't really matter. But what really matters, though, is how we love one another. And I'm not going to read from, you know, the most famous scripture on love is, you know, found in 1 Corinthians. But I'm not going to read that one. I'm going to read, start off with a scripture in Romans chapter 12 in verse 9. You know, it's a scripture that really reveals, you know, Paul talks about love. And he goes into more detail about what love is and how we should be as God's people when it comes to love. Amen? Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Everybody can hear me back there? All right, amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, there's so much things in there. So much things in there. And oftentimes, I know that I've done this in the past. You know, I've read this and I just read it and then, you know, amen, those are a bunch of nice things. You know, but I never really took the time to really go through it to really find out, okay, what is it exactly, you know, that Paul is writing about here? How does he want us to be able to apply these things in our lives? And that's what I'm going to do this morning. Okay, I'm going to try not to be too long. So I'm going to go through this, you know, fairly quickly, but do your best to follow. Okay, so it talks about that love must be without hypocrisy. And we all know what hypocrisy is. You know, hypocrisy, you know, a hypocrite is somebody who is an actor. Okay, that's where the word hypocrisy comes from. So we should not be actors when it comes to love, but we should not be two-faced. True love does not tolerate evil. We are to abhor evil and cling to what is good. You know, we need to be intimately glued to what is good. Okay, in verse 10, it says, love one another with a love that we should have for our family members. You know, and what I mean is, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You know, brotherly love. So what exactly is brotherly love? You know, we often hear that, you know, that we need to love, you know, we need to have brotherly love towards one another. And, you know, I think about, you know, when somebody is gone, you know, whenever I don't see them for a very long time. I know my brother, you know, we love each other dearly. You know, we have a very, very close relationship. I'm talking about my physical brother. We have a very, very close relationship. And, you know, my brother is 5.5 years older than me. And believe it or not, man, you know, when we were young, my brother used to change my diapers. Yeah, at 5.5 years old, he used to do that because my mom was a single mom. And he would change my diapers. Actually, back then, it wasn't actually diapers. It was something that we call nappies. It was cloth. And you had to wash it. It wasn't very nice. And he did that. My goodness. No wonder why I love him so much, eh? I really do love my brother. You know, and, you know, I think about him, you know, whenever I don't see him, I miss him. I long to see him. And, you know, so when the Bible talks about brotherly love, for us to have brotherly love towards one another, that's the way that it needs to be. That whenever we don't see each other, when, you know, we need to know, you know, wow, man, I missed that person. I haven't seen that person in a long time. You know, Howard was away. Karen was away. You know what? Really, I did. I do miss them. Roman was away. Man, I missed calling him. You were supposed to call me from Nigeria. Anyways, love you, brother. Yeah, but you know, that is the kind of love that Paul is talking about, that we need to have brotherly love towards one another. You know, the spirit is thicker than blood. We have, you know, we need to have family-like relationships in the church. You know, so we need to ask ourselves, man, do I miss my brother and my sister when they're gone and separated from them? You know, if we don't, then definitely we need to grow in our brotherly love towards one another. You know, are we able to express our love verbally? You know what I mean? Like, I love you. Have you ever told anybody that? I'm that kind of person. I'll just be like, you know what? I love you. You know, but verbally, physically, emotionally, and even financially. You know, sometimes that one is hard, eh? Financially. It's just like, you know what, bro? I'm down and out. I'm strapped. Could you, wow, that's tough. You know, but I get that a lot, you know, from home. You know, being back home, you know, people, they're always in the need. And my love is always being tested, you know, here when it comes to finances. You know, but would those in my family group say that I am devoted to them? I'll probably hear about this one after. Yeah, but would those in my family group say that I am devoted to them? You know, because love without action is very dead. You know, it says, honor one another above yourself. You know, we need to give preference to one another in honor. You know, in some other versions, it talks about, you know, to outdo one another in showing honor. And honor is obviously, you know, high respect, esteem, recognition, you know, and a distinction. You know, to regard with great respect and to esteem and to respect and to admire. You know, that's what it means to honor, you know, one another. You know, so Paul, you know, he's pretty much calling us to have a friendly competition to treat one another well. You know, it's not many times that the Bible says, you know, I want you to compete with each other. You know, but here Paul is saying, no, you need to outdo one another in treating each other well. You know, lead the way in showing honor for other believers. You know, we need to look for ways to honor each other. You know, and we love an individual more actually when we show them honor and respect. In verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal. Okay? And I'm not just talking about just zeal, okay? Like, you know, we're talking about not zeal without knowledge. I used to be that way when I was a younger Christian. Have zeal without knowledge. Man, sometimes I'd go back and say, my gosh, did I really say that? Did I really do that? But I was very zealous. You know, but did I actually say that and do that? But, you know, sometimes that's how it is. You know, we have zeal, you know, without knowledge. You know, but what is zeal? You know, zeal is a persistent, fervent devotion to a cause. You know, fervent, it means ardent. I love that word. Emotionally intense, passionate, eager. Intensity of feeling, passion, devotion. You know, obviously, you know, this verse is talking about our attitude towards God's work. You know, we're talking about that we need to have this towards God's work. But do we feel this? Do we have this towards God's work? Do we feel this way? You know, do we have zeal for God? You know, and I know sometimes, you know, as we go along in life, we lose our zeal. Sometimes we do. You know, but this is why Paul says, you know, never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in it. If we've lost it, we need to find a way to get it back. We need to find a way to get it back, you know, but we need to make sure that we have that passion and that eagerness ready to serve God. Amen? You know, but we need to have an emotional intensity, just like in everything that we do. You know, I think about, you know, some of us, you know, like me, you know, I used to be a bodybuilder. You know, well, not a professional one, that is. You know, and a lot of us, we play sports and we love to play sports. You know, and we give it our all, don't we? We really do. We put everything into it. You know, I remember, man, working out like 3 hours a day. That's crazy, isn't it? No, that's some devotion. Just because I wanted to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was close, but I was a shorter version. You know, but, you know, but absolutely, you know, we need to have, you know, that emotional intensity for God and be committed to Him in His work. You know, to be fervent is to allow the Holy Spirit, you know, to work in our life and to be able to set us on fire. You know, only the Holy Spirit, can do this, in our lives. Amen. In verse 12 and 13, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. You see, when we rejoice through God's hope, we persevere through tribulations. You know, when anyone causes us affliction, we don't retaliate. Okay? We do not retaliate, but we are patient with them. You know, obviously, you know, this term means to practice long suffering. You know, when we go through tribulation, it makes us pray. You know, that's what he's talking about. It makes us pray. Prayer really determines how faithful we are and who we are dependent upon. You know, we pray because God doesn't want us to carry around a heavy load. Amen? You know, prayer lightens our load, takes the focus off ourselves and our situation and onto God. You know, times of affliction and tribulation call for a spirit of generosity and hospitality when others are in need. We are to share our material resources to help meet the needs of other saints. Amen? You know, practice hospitality. You know, the word hospitality, you know, actually when we look at the English and in the Greek, it's actually, the English is actually kind of weak. In the Greek, it's more, it gives a more clear view of what it actually means. But it means to love for strangers. Practice hospitality. You know, and that's one thing that I sometimes do have a problem with. Wow, love for strangers. Practicing hospitality. Well, that's what it meant. You know, back in those times, this is when they were talking about practicing hospitality, this is what was meant. No, you're able to invite brothers and sisters, whoever it is that's traveling, into your home, regardless if you know them or not. You know, but you need to practice that kind of hospitality to be able to put people up, to be able to take care of them, take care of their needs. So it's not just, you know, even though it's awesome, you know, to have people into our homes, and we absolutely need to have people into our homes. You know, we need to feed people. We need to entertain people. But really what it's talking about is the deeper devotion, you know, towards people's actual needs when they're really, really down and out and in need. That is the hospitality that the Bible talks about. You know, it is truly one of the greatest expression of love and acceptance. You know, when we invite people to our home, when we have people into our home, it is truly one of the greatest things. You know, because we're inviting people into our lives to be able to see how we are, how we live. You know, and it's one of the greatest expression of love. In verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. You know, and here, you know, it's talking about not persecution, okay, from the world. You know, we often do get persecution from the world, but, you know, we also receive persecution from each other. You know, it talks about when fellow believers persecute us, pursue us for some reason or thing, we are to do what? We are to bless them. You know, but we don't retaliate, but we are to bless them. And, you know, it is quite tough to do at times. It says, bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. You know, and once again, you know, in the Greek, you know, the word for bless is, I'm going to do my best. I'm not a very good Greek. I can't speak Greek, so. But the word is eulogio. It's like a eulogy. You know, I think about sometimes we, you know, when, actually not sometimes, but most of the time, whenever somebody passes away, they would read that and it would talk about their life, good things about their life. You know, so when we bless, we need to talk good, you know, about people. Verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, it means to rejoice in the blessings of others. Mourn with those who mourn. It's to show sympathy when people are hurting. We're to share in the lives of others by experiencing their joy and feeling their grief. Rejoice in the blessings of others without envy or jealousy. You know, in two practical ways, you know, is, you know, I think about it, you know, whenever somebody's rejoicing, if somebody's having a wedding, go to their wedding. Encourage them on their wedding day. If there's a funeral, you know what? We need to share also in that somebody is hurting. You know, so that's what he's talking about. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. You know, when we think of harmony, you know, we think of what? I think of beautiful music. You know, blended together to make a beautiful sound. Well, not every music is like that. You know, some music are quite loud. You know what kind of music I'm talking about. Actually, even the loud ones, you know, some people will say that, yeah, it's blended pretty well together. You know, I'm talking about like hard rock and, you know, and all these different things. But we all have our different likes, you know, when it comes to music. But it's blended together to make a beautiful sound. And for this to happen, we need to be friendly with everyone. Okay, I'll say it again. We need to be friendly with everyone. Be of the same mind. Consider everyone as equal and don't think that we are better than anyone else. Very good point. Do not think that we are better than anyone else, because if we do, then we will never live in harmony with one another. You know, to make a beautiful harmony, one note can be louder or lower, but they have to be in sync to get a desired harmony. You know, obviously, you know, Paul is not calling us to think in just the same way or to think the same things. You know, it's just not possible for us all to think the same things or agree on every issue. You know, but in doing so, though, we definitely demonstrate the love, you know, whenever we have harmony. We demonstrate the love, the unity, and sacrifice that can only be found in Jesus Christ. It says, do not be proud. You know, be proud means haughty, meaning, you know, snobbish. Do not be snobbish. Do not be high-minded. And do not be exclusive. But be willing to associate with the lowly. You know, and obviously, I believe that, you know, Paul is referring to, you know, when you think about back then, man, our lifestyle that we have today is, it's crazy how rich we are. Those guys back in the first century, man, those guys didn't have half, even a quarter of what we have. And oftentimes, you know, a lot of people was looked down upon. You know, and Paul is saying, you need to be able to associate with people of low position. There's a lot of people of low position even in our society today. But we should not be, you know, so proud as that we can't associate with people of low position. You know, it shows our hearts that it has pride and that we think ourselves too highly when we do that. So we are commanded not to be conceited. And to be conceited is to have an excessive satisfaction with one's own character or achievements. And oftentimes as Canadians, we really do struggle with that one. You know, a person who has a complex or witty speech, or witty figure of speech. You know, having too much of an high opinion of oneself. Amen. Verse 17, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And you know what? This is one of the hardest commandments to obey. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. It's like, wow, that is tough. You know, I know when my son was just born, you know, I'd be like, man, you know what? Boy, anyone who touches him, yeah, you know, no way, man, I'm going to protect him. If you see him now, he'll be like, no, I'll protect you, daddy. You know, he's a pretty big boy, you know. But do not repay, you know, anyone, you know, evil for evil. You know, because it totally goes against the grain. It really does go against the grain of our nature. You know, to repay anyone evil for evil requires us thinking ahead. You know, how are we going to do this? You know, we need to think about how we will respond to our spouses. Do not, sometimes we hear this and do not repay anyone for evil for evil. And then we think about somebody else. But yet we do that even in our homes to our spouses. You know? So do not repay anyone evil for evil. You know, we need to think about how we're going to respond to our spouses. We need to think about how we're going to respond to brothers and sisters, co-workers, you know, people who persecute us for what we believe and say. You know, this is why we're commanded to be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, and this requires forethought. It really does require us to think. And I remember one time I was going through a really, really tough time, you know, at work, and I was having attitudes in my heart. And I thought to myself, okay, you know what? This is not good. You know, how am I going to go to work and not kind of blow up towards my boss? And then I sat down and I thought about it and I goes, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go. I'm going to have kind words and I'm going to be obedient, you know, to my boss. Of course, you know, I'll tell him, you know what? That's too much work, you know? It's too much work. I'm only one man. You know, that was the problem. The workload was, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? You know, but I was just like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I'm really only one guy. And he'd be like, yes, yes, I understand. Take this off, take that off, and, you know, have a great day. You know, but we really need to think about it and have forethought about how we're going to be able, you know, to do this in our lives. In verse 18, it says, this is very conditional. It says, if it is possible. You know, because we can't force others to do what is right. We really can't. I know that I've tried to do it. A lot of us, we've tried to do this, to force people to do what is right, but we really can't. You know, we can only fulfill our responsibilities towards God. You know, if someone doesn't want to be reconciled to us, we should not waste our time or energy, really. You know, sometimes that person just needs time for God to work on their hearts. Really. They just need time. And, you know, we should not push sometimes the issue, but just stand back and let God do his work. Amen? Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. You know, when someone wrongs us, we need to step aside and let God, as what I said before, do his work. You know, no one can avenge us like God can. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, let's turn there. Or let's go there. It's actually not too far from where we are in Romans 12. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, the term, you know, or expression, let no debt remain outstanding or owe nothing to anyone, can easily be misunderstood. You know, and I've misunderstood it. You know, the term, you know, to owe is used many times in the New Testament. You know, and most often it does not refer or convey to the sense of a financial or financial debt or obligation. You know, a lot of times we read it, we're thinking that it's talking about finance. But it is used in a broader term or a broader sense of obligation or duty towards people. Okay? So it is used in a broader sense of obligation or duty towards people. So when Paul talks about debt, he is talking about obligation. So we are called to fulfill our obligation towards the world and its authorities. You know, if we go back, you know, in verse 6, it says, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to govern. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe tax, pay tax. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, you know, then honor. So this is what he's talking about, that we need to, you know, to give people these honor and respect, whatever it is that we're obligated to the world to give them. But the only obligation that should remain outstanding is an obligation to love one another. That's the only obligation that should remain. You know, and I remember one time, somebody said to me, you know, that really we don't hold anything to a specific, you know, individual, you know. And I was just like, I thought about it, and I was just like, that's actually not correct. It really doesn't matter how we feel towards one another, but the Bible says that we have an obligation to love one another. So therefore, we do owe each other love. We owe each other love. We have an obligation to love one another. You know, and obviously we know that love is not a feeling. Okay? It's not a feeling, but love, you know, is something that we practice and that we show towards one another. You know, in Romans, you don't have to turn there, chapter 1, verse 14, Paul was obligated to preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12, we are obligated not to live according to the flesh. Romans chapter 13, verse 7, we are obligated to honor those in authority. In Romans 15, 1, we are obligated to the weak. So Paul is teaching that although we have an obligation towards men, our highest obligation is towards each other, the Christians, with the obligation to love one another. We are called to serve people at our expense and not the other way around. And isn't that so true? You know, oftentimes we want other people to do stuff, but we ourselves, we don't want to lift a finger to be able to do anything. You know, but we really do live in a day of expectation. You know, people, they want, but they don't want to give. You know, but we as Christians, we're called out of this world. You know, we are called to be like Christ Jesus. You know, we are called to love and to exemplify that love in our lives. And believe me, love, as good as it sounds, sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds very, very easy. Love. Wow. You know, you go to every wedding and you hear that scripture read, love is patient, love is kind. But wow, man, when you go home, you're just like, really, is it patient? Is it kind? You know, but this is something, you know, this is something that we will always be going after in our lives because we will never arrive. After 25 years, I have never arrived. I'm still learning how to love because love goes against our very nature. But you know what? We have victory because we have the Spirit of Christ living inside of us. And the Spirit of Christ living inside of us, He is what makes it possible for us to live this life of love. Amen. God bless. And may the Lord's name be praised. Amen.